Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Elizabeth Baptist Church. We pray you and your family are blessed by the service. If you have any questions or if we can minister to you in any way, reach out to us at elbchurch.org.
This is the day that you have made. Whatever comes, I won't complain. And all my hope is in your name. And now your joy awaits my praise. I give thanks for all you have done. And I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love. Your name is victory. to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to Him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory, and all praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory, and all praise will rise to Christ our King. I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory.
Come on!
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Soldiers watched in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain.
Sing it out,
our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave.
Good morning, church, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And it's unusual that we're not able to gather in the building today, but we are excited to come and worship our King Jesus. We find ourselves, as we continue to make our way through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. We're going to work our way through verse 16, And we're excited to continue to follow the steps and the ministry of Paul. Look at the text with me, beginning in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. After the uproar ceased, you remember there was a riot in Ephesus, and Paul was, he stayed out of it, but it was all about him and all that was happening with the gospel, and it was beginning to affect the pocketbooks of the silversmiths there, and there was a riot. But it says, after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed from Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, they tried to kill him. As he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus, these went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Paul is again transitioning from Ephesus. He goes into Macedonia, where he would have spent time in the Philippi region, the city of Philippi. It tells us in the text that before he left, he gave much encouragement to the disciples there in Ephesus. It tells us that in Macedonia that he gave them much encouragement as well. Paul was an encourager, and we should be encouragers as well. It tells us that he arrived there in verse 3. He arrived in Greece. He'd have been around Athens and around Corinth. He spent about 3 months there, but there was a plot to kill him there. And he was going to head to Syria, but he makes his way back to Macedonia. In those 3 months while he was in Greece, we understand from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 23 and following, that he wrote his letter to the church at Rome in that time while he was in Greece for those 3 months. He set sails for Syria, but he decides to go back to Macedonia. And then you hear a roll call of different regions. You see these men that are represented from different churches. You have the Berean, Sopater. You have the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus. You have Derbe. From Derbe, you have Gaius. You have Timothy. You have the Asians that are Tychicus and Trophimus. One of the things that Paul is accomplishing on this portion of the journey is he's taken the offering that's been collected for the believers in Jerusalem, and he's going to deliver that offering to them at the completion of this journey when he gets to Jerusalem. And these men, we believe, commentators believe, were elected by their various churches to accompany Paul to make this gift to the Christians there in Jerusalem, who had been suffering, who had been persecuted, and all the churches were gathering together funds and money to help them and to encourage them. And this entourage is going to deliver that. In verse 5, you see that Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, says that these went on ahead and were waiting for us. At this point, as in other times in the book of Acts, we see that Luke and Paul are united together in this journey, and the writer switches from the third person to the first person. And so at this point, we see that Luke is with Paul, and they are traveling together in their time in Troas. Is detailed that they stay there about a week. They stay in Philippi for about 5 days longer, and then they stay in Troas for a week, and we'll see the rest of our text this morning is a narrative from that time in Troas. Paul shares some of these highlights in some of his other letters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12 and verse 13, Paul writes, "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest, because I did not find my brother Titus there." Titus was supposed to meet them in Troas, but later on he met them in Macedonia. So Paul leaves and goes to Macedonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 begins, "For even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest." I want you just to see this, because Paul is journeying, he's laboring. We think about how travel is difficult now when you go to places and you have a long drive or you have a long flight or most of us don't walk to long journeys anymore, but travel's difficult now. Just imagine, he's either walking or riding on camel or horseback in all of these journeys. He is laboring to get the gospel where it goes. He said, "When we arrived at Macedonia, our bodies had no rest." And listen to what he says, "But we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within." He's showing a little bit of his humanity and his he's trusting in the Spirit. He's trusting in the power of God. But these were real fears and worries. But then he says, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. When his friend arrives in Macedonia, they were supposed to meet him in Troas. He wasn't there. Paul heads on to Macedonia. But when Titus arrives, God uses it to be a refresher, a joy to this apostle Paul. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still the more. Paul is encouraged by the fellowship of his brother Titus and the fellowship of Luke, but also by the testimony of the Corinthians and the church that he loved so much there, that they were walking with Jesus. It encouraged the heart of Paul. We were made to encourage one another. You see that in the text, right? In Ephesus, he gathered the disciples, and the Bible says, after he had encouraged them, he set on his way. And when he was there in Macedonia, he brought great encouragement to them. And then Paul himself, there was times when he needed encouragement, and through the people of God and the body of Christ, God brings that encouragement. That's important for us to note in this passage. Now, as we shift to Troas, it's one of the kind of humorous, but really kind of a strange story. It's I think it was a Baptist church meeting, because we find somebody that falls asleep. And a young man by the name of Eutychus was, you've heard the story, he fell out of the window and was found dead. But look what happens. Paul and Luke had arrived there in Troas. They expected to see Titus there. They won't see him till later, till Macedonia, like 2 Corinthians tells us. But Paul loves these people. He'd met some of them in his previous journeys, and now he spends time encouraging them. And on that last evening, a Sunday evening, the Bible tells us on the first day of the week, we note in the text that it became common that worship for Jews took place on the Sabbath, that Friday evening to Saturday evening. But for the followers of Christ, for those of the way, they started the custom of celebrating worship on the day that they celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. But the service was in the evening, most believe, because Sunday then would have been a work day. They wouldn't have been off of their labor. The day off was Saturday, but they would have had to work that day. But they gathered together as a body on that Sunday evening, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread. That's probably the Lord's Supper, but also probably an entire meal that they shared together, but also observing the Lord's Supper. Paul talked with them, and he was intending to depart the next day. This was his last time in this trip, and maybe any trip, that he would get to spend time with them. And so he was preaching and teaching and encouraging the crowd. And he prolonged his speech until midnight. This was a long sermon. I want to hear it next time I have a long sermon. It was a long sermon. It went from probably the evening mealtime, 5 to 6 p.m. to midnight. This is a 5-hour sermon. This is longer than Joey preaches. I mean, this was a long sermon. And so, I can't believe I just said that, but praise the Lord. It's in there now. We ain't going to edit it out. Amen. He prolonged his speech until midnight. And there were many lamps in the room. I think Luke kind of includes this, so you can imagine it's an upper room. It's the biggest room in the house, but it's probably packed. They weren't able to social distance. They were packed into this room. There was lamps that were lit, and I don't know if you've ever been around fire, but just the light itself kind of dulls you into tiredness. And then the fire burning was probably depriving some of the oxygen and all the people in the room. And so Eutychus had found himself in this window sill. Maybe, I don't know how you are, but when I get tired, sometimes I want some fresh air. I want to feel a breeze or something that's probably hot in that room. And he was in the windowsill, and it says that a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep. Now remember, Paul had already preached to midnight, and it says, as Paul talked still longer. That's a lot of sermons you've listened in your life, right? Man, is he done? No, he's still talking. Still longer. I think it was a great sermon, though. I don't think it was a great sermon just because it was Paul. I think it was a great sermon because these people were hungry to hear, thus saith the Lord. They desired. Nobody was complaining. Nobody was leaving. They were just trying to. It was late in the evening. It had been a long day. They probably worked that day. It was hot in the room. There was crowded. It was just, he fell asleep. I think if you fall asleep, I'm never going to call anybody out for falling asleep. Unless it's one of the staff snoring, but I probably won't even do that. It's just sometimes you're just tired. You know, as bad as when I'm watching my own sermon and fall asleep. That's what's really bad. But he fell asleep. And Paul's continuing to preach, and they're soaking it up. They're wanting to hear it, but this young man falls asleep, and he falls from the third story window. And be overcome from sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. He died. The doctor, the physician, Luke, says he was taken up dead. This dude died. But Paul went down and bent over him and, taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, they shared another meal, midnight snack, a late evening snack. He conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted. This is the way Luke writes it. It's not, they were not a little comforted. They were a lot comforted. They were encouraged. You see the theme of the whole passage? He encouraged the people at Ephesus. He encouraged the people in Macedonia. In his letter to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians, they encouraged him. Titus encouraged him. They encouraged one another. They were comforted by one another. They did this thing called following Jesus, that this Christian walk was intended to be walked in together with one another. The theme of encouragement. They were not a little comforted. They were greatly comforted. They shared meals together. They fellowshiped together. They saw the miracles together. It says they fellowshiped until daybreak. That would not be the normal. That would not be the expectation that every service we have, we stay up all night and fellowship. But there have been times in times of fellowship, and somebody you may not have seen in a while, and somebody that you know you may not see again for a while, you'll stay up until the wee hours of the morning because you want to get all of that time together that you can get. I know every time we travel to North Carolina, and my children get to see their cousins. That last night we're there, nobody wants to go home. Nobody wants to go to bed. I usually get in the bed and try to get some sleep because I'm getting up early to drive, but they want to spend as much time as they can. That ought to be the way it is, that when we come together as the body of Christ, we long to be with one another, and we're not in a hurry to get out. It doesn't mean that we have to stay till midnight, but that we long for that fellowship with one another. We were made for that. I think it's fitting that we get to this text, and this is so emphasized in this text. And in verse 13, we see the transition to the journey to begin his way to Jerusalem. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, and intended himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day we touched at Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening, he was in a hurry to be at Jerusalem if possible on the day of Pentecost. Basically what they're doing is they're just kind of making their way down the coastline to Miletus before they would sail across the sea to the port to head toward Jerusalem. These were short little day trips, a day at a time. They were sailing from city to city. He didn't go up into Ephesus, which was about 30 miles north of Miletus, because he knew if he went there, he'd have a hard time getting away, because he loved them so dearly. They loved him so dearly. And next week, we'll look to where he calls the elders, the preachers, the pastors, the leaders from Ephesus down to Miletus to spend some time to weep with them and love on them and be encouraged by one another. But he really has set his eyes and believes that God is leading him to get to Jerusalem, to encourage the church there, to deliver the offering, to encourage them. So all along the way, his main priority is the sharing of the gospel and the encouragement of the church. What do we take from this? It's really a quick sermon today. I want you to see this in the text. We were meant, we were made to need, desire, and be comforted in fellowship with one another. God does not intend men and women to follow him by themselves. He intends for men and women. Listen, you must be saved individually. You must cry out to Christ individually. There is something about that individual relationship with Jesus, but there is so much more to it in following Christ than that. We were intended and made to walk with one another in this journey called the Christian life, to encourage one another, to challenge one another, to comfort one another, to all the one another's that we've talked about in the passages we see in the New Testament. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. How do you do these things? Together. We're made this way. We were made to need, desire, and be comforted in fellowship with one another. Second, I want you to see this. I believe Paul would agree, and we can see from this text, it is good to make plans, but always do so while surrendering to God and His glory. It is good to make plans, but always do so while surrendering to God and His glory, and remembering that His plans are always better. Through the text, he encouraged the disciples at Ephesus, giving them much encouragement in Macedonia. Verse 2, in the passage in 2 Corinthians that I quoted earlier, that he was encouraged by the church at Corinth. He was encouraged by his brother Titus. We are made to encourage one another. We have our plans. Paul has his plans. But all through these journeys, have you noticed? He's got ideas. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. But it's always surrendered to the direction and glory of God. That's how we live our lives. There is nothing wrong with planning, with having plans, with making plans, with having dreams, but they must always be surrendered to the will and the glory of God. What an encouragement. Listen, church, I miss you. I miss us gathering together. I am excited. If you haven't yet seen the email as you're watching this video on Sunday morning, this sermon on May the 10th, Mother's Day, 2020, this Sunday morning, you may have not heard yet, but tonight we will gather together. It'll be different. We're not going back to normal. We're going to come back together is a phrase that I heard that I really like. It's not back to normal. It's back together. And we will have a service tonight at 5 p.m. In the grassy side of the gym. Not the gym, but on the grassy side, on the other side of the gym. And we need to follow the guidelines that we put on the Facebook page and that you saw in the email. And I'll put out another video that you'll have access to that'll show those. But it's going to be exciting to see one another, to be encouraged by one another, and to encourage others as we gather tonight at 5 p.m. I hope you can be there. Follow the guidelines. Do what you feel is best. Do what you feel is right. Obviously, if you've been sick, stay home. If you feel that you are vulnerable to anything, stay home. If you have a compromised immune system, stay home. But if you're able, we look forward to seeing you tonight. Why? Because God made us. We were intended to do this journey, to follow Jesus together as the body of Christ. May you be encouraged. May you encourage others. And the way we do that is through this great gospel we have in Christ Jesus, that whosoever that would respond to him, that for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That as Paul writes in the book of Romans in chapter 10, verse 9, that whoever would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. What greater encouragement do we have that Jesus has paid the price for our sins, that he died in our place, that he was buried, dead and buried, but on that glorious third day, he rose, gaining us the ability to have victory through that gospel over sin, death, the grave, and anything else that we might would face, no matter what its name or initials were. To God be the glory. Be encouraged, church. Our God is on his throne. If you are his child, you already have victory. And if you are not yet been born again, if you've not yet surrendered to Christ, you can do so before the end of this very day. Before you even turn off this video, you can cry out to Jesus to save you. And I believe with all my heart, he is ready, willing, and able. If you desire to do that, if you've done that and not shared it with anyone, we encourage you, we beg you, let us know so that we can come alongside of you and encourage you. And I promise you, as we come alongside of you to encourage you, there are going to be days when you encourage us and we will encourage one another. That is one of the great benefits of our glorious gospel, is that it was made to be lived together. Pray with me, church. Father, we love you. We thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you for the example that we see in Paul as he made his journeys, and Luke as he wrote it down as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. As he was in one place, he encouraged them. As he was in another place, he encouraged them. And in other places, he was encouraged by them and encouraged by brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, may you enable us and empower us by your Spirit to encourage one another, but always knowing that our greatest source of encouragement is that Jesus rose from the grave and gives us life through this glorious gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I count one thing, the same God who never failed. Will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late, working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Sizzle Baptist Church. Again, if you have any questions about the message or a personal relationship with Jesus, feel free to reach out to us at elbchurch.org.